Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Director Bonner. Ex-Commissioner Jim Smith with Siskiyou County has several requests of your department. Please call her the Wolves, and please ask for help. You have failed miserably in attempts to do so, and we do understand the difficulty. You do have options out there that might offer you some expert assistance. For example, trappers from USDA's Wildlife Services. The other thing that I would like to mention, actually I'd like to ask a couple questions. I support the questions that Supervisor Hout mentioned. We do not have a healthy deer population, nor do we have a healthy elk population. I was just curious if there have been research done on the actual population that is available out there for these wolves to eat. I suspect that there isn't a complete population study countywide. I can also tell you that the commissioners in Modoc, who is missing, and Lassen County both agree that there aren't any good numbers out there about prey species all across the North State. Second thing, along those same lines, how many bears do we have eating that prey species, and how are you managing that population? Because it has a direct effect on what the wolves are trying to eat. The other question is that the coyote population is enormous. Do we have any idea how many coyotes are out in the same area preying on the same population of prey species? All those things have a drastic impact on what those wolves are eating, which is currently livestock. Most of the wolves are now livestock eaters, which has been brought up already. Addressing those issues would help us to prepare for the future. Collaring the wolves would give us a tool to at least respond to attacks or likely attacks from the wolf population. My office is available to assist you at any time. My door is open. Kent's been there many times, and I would welcome a meeting if you could so arrange that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anna, is there anyone else online?
Showing no comments online.
Mr. Bonner, you want to say a few words before I let you go? You don't have to.
He's muted.
Hold on, he's muted. Hold on. Anna, can you unmute him?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
TRAC Commissioner, I'll ask my office to follow up, and we'll set a meeting either phone or virtual, and I'll ask a couple of our senior staff here in Sacramento, and if helpful, Kent and Tina to join us. So let's get that done this month. You are also correct. We are not able, but know we need to look at population dynamics at the localized level for bear and for coyote. We tend to rely on models and extrapolations, and that's not good enough anymore. So criticism heard and understood. For the hearts, I say thank you. And for the speaker prior, I know that that ranch is taking a disproportionate impact right now. And this afternoon, I will look into why delay on funding, assuming applications have been submitted, as I don't have any reason to believe they haven't been. And I will say one of our challenges within the bureaucracy is processing through and then getting a totally separate entity, the state controller's office, to cut a check, to actually literally write the check from the treasury. These are funds approved by the legislature. They are not private funds in the compensation fund. And to the other speakers, I appreciate the passion. I understand your request to present an advocate in front of our commission. I'm thankful for the time to hear y'all, and I expect we can have an ongoing conversation if the board would like to keep inviting us back for certain topics.
Director Bonham, thank you for the time. I can assure you this will be an ongoing conversation, so I think that'll be a testament that we are moving forward. So with that, I'm going to call this to an end. Appreciate the time and effort, and I know you've got another meeting to go to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Randy, you doing all right?
Yep. We can get through consent.
Yeah, we will.
Specific power.
We are moving on to item 6, which is our consent agenda. Anything from the board?
Pool B and C.
We're pool B and C. Balance of the motion.
I move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Yep,
exactly.
Just a second here.
Okay.
All righty, Supervisor Health.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Supervisor.
On these two letters of support, I just wanted to thank staff for the areas in a timely, quick, timely manner before the board. Reforestation effort going on across lands. This is a grant submittal by FWS Forestry. Anyway, I'm glad to see the private landowners taking on the reforestation after these devastating fires, and I would advocate that I'd see the same with the public agencies. And with that, I move to approve.
Second.
Hang on. Fingers are not doing what I want them to do. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Thompson.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Still okay with you?
Yes.
Let's get through the next item, then we'll take it back.
Yep.
Item 7A, California Department of Transportation. We have a presentation. How'd you like that wolf conversation?
I loved it. I love to see a community that's involved.
Yeah, I wish they would have stayed for the what's coming up with our my vacation little thing.
good morning, Mr. Chair, Board. Pleasure to be with you here this morning. My name is Lauren Brahoda, and I'm with the California Department of Transportation. And I'm here this morning to share some information about an issue that's coming down the road towards the state, a little bit about what the state is doing to potentially prepare for it, and an opportunity for your community to be involved in thinking about some solutions. So I should have a presentation.
And, excuse me, for me to interrupt, Anna, did we let the people back in?
Yes,
we did. They're back in, okay,
great.
Great,
can you jump to the next slide? So, as you may or may not know, when we think about transportation in California, the vast majority of our transportation system is funded by the state gas tax. This is state roads, this is county roads, city roads, transit, all those kind of things. But as we look ahead to the future, even though we've relied on this system for 100 years now in our state, it's going to have some increasing issues that are destabilizing it. And that plays out in a couple of different ways. One, as cars are advancing, they're getting more fuel efficient, which is fantastic in many ways. It saves us money at the pump, but that means we're paying less in gas tax at the same time. So that's an impact to our road revenue. Secondly, many more Californians are switching to vehicles that don't use gas at all. Again, there's some positive aspects to that, but again, those vehicle owners are not contributing to gas tax, which again, these are not contributing to road maintenance. Thirdly, just inflation and loss of purchase power. This doesn't affect us as much at the state level since the passage of SB1, which did index the gas tax to inflation. But at the federal level, the feds also have gas tax, that has not been increased since the early 90s, and so that has been going down as well. And as these issues play out, we're seeing an increasing disparity about how our citizens are contributing to a road maintenance and the use of the road. We have folks who may own less fuel-efficient vehicles who are paying more to drive the same number of miles the folks with very fuel-efficient vehicles. And the way that plays out in the research that we've seen is it tends to be rural drivers that have those less fuel-efficient vehicles because of the way of life, the types of vehicles you need in these regions of the state. And so they're paying, on average right now, more than their urban counterparts. You can switch to the next slide. So the state is trying to look ahead and investigate what could be an alternative mechanism to collect that funding to support our transportation system, to replace the gas tax as that mechanism. And what we're looking at is something called a road charge. This is a per mile fee. It's kind of a usage-based fee, replacing that current per gallon fee. We're looking at it, again, as a potential replacement for the gas tax. It would be one per mile rate for all passenger vehicles. We get into the commercial vehicle space with the weight issues, could potentially look different. But anything basically under 10,000 pounds, most passenger vehicles. We aren't necessarily looking at changing how the funding is spent. Again, this is existing funding that we're currently using, states using, counties using, to repair our roads. So we want to make sure we're stabilizing that existing funding so it continues for our use into the future. Next slide, please. So I just wanted to illustrate really quickly, again, that fourth issue about increasing disparity under the gas tax and what people are paying. And so you can see here's just some basic examples of range of typical vehicles that you might find. And you have on one end of these electric vehicles, which do pay a small annual registration fee, but are not contributing at the same level that most people do in terms of state gas taxes. So you can see that range of vehicles, and that there's just a very big difference in what people are paying on a monthly basis to drive the same number of miles. Next slide, please. Potentially, if we switch that to a road charge, you can see that evening out. And so you'd see some people have their costs go down, and again, these are the more low fuel efficiency vehicles, which again tend to be owned by folks in rural areas. But you would also see people, some people having their costs raised because they're not contributing right now. So that, but again, that tends to be on the electrical vehicle side. Next slide, please. So I just want to talk briefly about what this system might look like. And this is a brief illustration of kind of the back office structure. What you wouldn't necessarily see in the day-to-day, but how it would work. So we envision a state oversight agency that would certify private third-party commercial account managers to do the day-to-day interaction with the taxpayer. So that involves providing something to a way for them to report their miles, calculating the road charge due, providing the invoices, and accepting the tax on behalf of the taxpayer. Then what gets translated back to the state is simply the number of miles that the tax due. There's a couple of reasons that a lot of states have settled on this structure. One is keeping the admin costs down. A lot of times, building on a private sector business, they can operate more efficiently, and so that keeps the state's costs down, and it's a better use of taxpayer dollars. Secondly, private companies often adapt to changes in technology much more flexibly than the state does. We hope that this system, should it be enacted by the state legislature, would work well into the future with technologies that we can't even imagine at this point in time. So that's another reason to be engaging with the private sector so that we can adapt as those new ideas come forward. And thirdly, just in terms of privacy and data management, the public in general trusts or is more comfortable with the private sector managing their data than the government itself. Next slide, please. What it kind of the upfront looks like for the taxpayer, we envision a system that would have a number of different options on how they could choose to report their mileage to the state. This ranges from very low-tech options to very high-tech options. And the reason, one of the reasons we feel it's so important to have these options is giving taxpayers control over their data. In our society today, we have to think about how we manage our data, and different people have different priorities in terms of that balance between privacy and efficiency. We want to make sure that the individual taxpayer can make that choice for themselves, that the government is not making that choice for them. So on the low end, low tech option, you have something, for example, like a third-party odometer read. So you can envision a scenario, something kind of like a smog check, where you go in, you have someone certified, read your odometer, and report it on your behalf. There's no technology involved, there's no tracking, nothing like that. On the high-end side, you know, we have vehicles coming off the line these days with in-vehicle telematics built in. They're constantly reporting all sorts of data. That's very efficient. It's very easy. The driver doesn't even have to think about it. Some people prefer that, and that can, you know, have a whole range of data, including location, including miles, all those things. Again, we want to have that range so that people have that choice. Next slide, please. So I just want to share with you a bit how this fits in the national picture. All states have this issue in various degrees because all states in some respect have a gas tax as part of their funding structure. The federal government also has a gas tax as part of their funding structure. So you can see from this map, we already have three states, the ones in yellow, who have active road charge programs at this time. A number of states, the ones in green, have done or are starting pilots to test out the system. I'm particularly interested in the ones that are coming online right now in Kansas and Oklahoma. I think those are going to be very interesting projects. Then you have another other states, the ones in blue, who are actually studying and hoping to do pilots in the future. And then in addition, at the national level, as part of last year's federal transportation bill, Congress did pass a national pilot, which will likely be unfolding this year to explore it as a potential solution for the federal gas tax issues. So there's a lot of interest and momentum around this. Regardless of the politics of each state, I think there's a lot of folks who see this as a very practical user-based fee that can be practically explored and could have a lot of practical purposes. Next slide, please. So, what is California doing specifically? At this time, we've already done two pilots exploring how this might fit in our state structure, and we're about to do a third, starting just next month. And this project, which we're calling the Public-Private Road Project, is specifically focused on rural and tribal drivers. This is really the first pilot in the nation to focus specifically on these communities, and it's very important to understand how this system might work in the more rural areas of our state. There are unique issues in rural communities, and we need to explore those and make sure that they're fully addressed. We want to make sure that the system, should the legislature choose to pass it, works for all Californians, that we've taken the time to make sure that it works in your communities, that we understand the way it might interact in your way of life. So that is what we're trying to focus on, engaging through this pilot, having folks in rural areas try out the system, live with it for a couple of months, tell us what you think, how it fits into your day-to-day. In this specific pilot, we are testing one of the higher tech reporting methods. The reason for that is we want to explore how some GPS technology might add additional benefits to rural drivers. Specifically, situation we envision is if you have a farmer or rancher driving on his private frontage road that's right next to you, a public road, in one scenario he should be charged a tax, but in the other he shouldn't because it's a private road. You know, no public dollars are going to the maintenance of that road. Additionally, you know, in areas of the state that are, you know, have extensive private land, you know, are drivers spending a lot of time driving off roads? And, you know, we do currently have a reimbursement process with the state where you can request refunds from the gas tax for miles that you've driven off road, but it's a little bit cumbersome, and we don't really know how well it's being utilized. So that's why we want to explore perhaps, you know, more precise GPS technology that does say, okay, you're on a private road right now. Oh, you're on a public road right now. Will that bring tax benefits to rural communities? We don't know. That's why we're testing it. You know, that's why we want that feedback. So this is what we're doing right now. If you can, next slide. We are recruiting folks in rural areas and from tribal communities right now to sign up on our website. You can see the link right there. We are offering up to $250 per person in incentives to participate in this pilot. What that participation entails is simply signing up online. If selected to participate, you'll be sent a plug-in device that goes into the OBD2 port of your vehicle. You'll drive around for 6 or 7 months, just like you usually do. You'll use some simulated invoices once a month, and you'll take a couple of surveys. That's what it entails. And we are looking for opportunities as well just to talk about this new idea, this new potential tax structure in rural communities. So if any of you have community group meetings that you'd like us to come to and be present with, talk to people about this, take input and feedback. We're happy to show up wherever that may be, no matter the size of the group. So we're looking for those opportunities as well. Next slide. So that's basically what I wanted to share with you today. We have another week or two while we're still recruiting participants before we kick off in March. My contact information is on there, so you're welcome to follow up if you think of more questions later, or anyone in the public is as well. That's our website, which has a lot more in-depth information if you're curious to learn more. It also has a calculator on it where you can input your own vehicle and the number of miles you drive in any month, and you can get an estimate of what you're paying in state gas taxes right now compared to what you might pay under a road charge, so you can understand the numbers for yourself. So with that, happy to take any questions.
Supervisor Howell?
I got two quick. Sorry, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help. I'm a skeptic. Of the states that are doing this, have any of them canceled the state meal tax?
So the existing states, so Oregon, Utah, and Virginia, they have started this program with EVs only. So that's their kind of their first round. So at this point in time, no, because the EVs are not paying the gas tax. So they've kind of started with that separate system.
And I don't know why that's not the rule. We're just taxing these vehicles because that seems to be the issue. But the other question I have is, I have one vehicle that I tow an RV with, and I spend a lot of time out of state. Mm-hmm. So am I going to get charged mileage by my state taxing me out of state when I'm paying fuel tax when I buy fuel purchases out of the state and driving in another state?
That's an excellent question and critical as we think towards a nationwide system, because obviously we don't just stay in one state, especially up in here where we're getting so close to Oregon. So I'm going to hit on a couple of points in response to that. First off, we are looking at an interoperable system between states. We've done a pilot with the state of Oregon on this already. And it's based kind of on the example of, if you're familiar with the International Fuel Tax Agreement, which is the current system in place that sorts out gas taxes from trucks going across state and even internationally. So it's kind of the central clearinghouse that sorts out the taxes due at the different rates per state based on where you drove. So we are looking at that. In terms of you individually about what you'd pay, this gets down to, again, that choice that you make as an individual about how you want to report your miles and some of the trade-offs in that. If you choose a very low-tech reporting option that does not have any tracking, GPS, or whatever form it may be, you basically have to assume that all miles are driven in California because you have no way of knowing which miles are where. If you pick one of the more high-tech ones, that is facilitates understanding which miles were driven in which state, and so you can have that different rate structure. So it is a trade-off there. There is some leakage involved across states, just as there is currently under the gas tax, but that's how those situations would play out.
I'm sorry, but so I have to give up my freedom to know where I am to the state to be able not to be taxed by the state when I'm out of the state.
There are trade-offs involved.
I'm sorry, but that's not a trade-off. Anyway, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for being here today. I think it's important that John Q. Public understand what this is. A few years ago, I was in D.C. when they were trying to roll out this plan on a federal level. And it's basically what's driving this is the EV. Just tax them and,
please
take away some of our tax and leave us alone on the other, because this is going to create a whole nother bureaucracy that future is going to have to be funded because staffing is going to be low and, the high technology that's going to give you everything you want, takes more people to decipher how that comes through. It just opening a door to less freedom. And I'm not, you know, the gas tax doesn't always get where it's supposed to now. I don't know how, you know, this would work as well, but I just say start taxing the EV and then work it from that angle. I mean, if you just take, there's roughly a dollar of tax on per gallon of gas now, which equates to about 4 cents a mile for a car that gets to average 25 miles to a gallon across the board. There's a formula already for EV. I don't know what you would be looking at to charge per mile, but roughly, you know, it's you know, I mean, we're anywhere from 3 to 5 cents right now in the current structure. So, and that would also open the door to future increases if there's not enough revenue for road tax. So, start with the EVs.
Thank you. I appreciate that feedback. And that's a potential option the legislature could consider, definitely. In terms of what the rate might be, again, that would ultimately be set by the legislature, and it would depend on which existing revenue streams we determine to include in road charge. But a revenue neutral probably be somewhere between 2 to 3 cents per mile in terms of the state gas tax.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
No, thank you. In regards to, I realize that we plan to move forward on the EVs. If the state were to move forward and just do the EVs, would it keep the gas tax where it's at?
I'm not quite sure. Can you restate that question?
Sure. So if the state moves forward, so we're just going to tax by mile for the electric vehicles to work that out, and it doesn't, if it just goes after electric vehicles, but it doesn't do all vehicles for mileage.
Mm-hmm.
If it just does electric vehicles, would it also be doing the non-electric vehicles, where the gas tax be coming down?
Okay, I think I see your point. So, it's a good question. And again, a lot of that would fall on the legislature in determining the rates. But I think, again, the goal of what the problem we're trying to solve here is stabilizing our existing revenue. So it would need to fall within that bucket of, okay, if we're doing this new revenue source on this side, and does that bring that down over here? I think at least the initial goal would be to, because EVs are not, so EVs have right now a $100 annual registration fee. But Californians, on average, in gas-powered vehicles are paying $300 a year in state gas taxes. So I think at least the initial would be to get the EVs up to that same level so that everyone's paying the same, regardless of the type of vehicle they're driving. But again, ultimately that call would be made by the state legislature.
Right. I think the concern would be if it raises it on an electric vehicle, it would just keep the gas tax where it's at and be making the same we're making for.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing too, I think they call them green taxes. One of the major intents was for the gas tax was for people to purchase fuel efficient cars for less pollution within the cities and those sorts of things.
Right. There are some existing programs, probably mostly run by the Air Resources Board, that have some subsidies available for purchase of EVs. I believe that's correct.
I'll stop there. Thank you.
I'm all for taxing the EVs. I would much rather see an EV go to a pump to get electricity and have to buy it and be taxed on that. I think that levels the playing field a lot more. And the crossing the state lines is an issue that I've just questioned that the whole time I've read about this. It's like, how is that going to work? How are we going to do that? And I don't think that taking away our rights is the way to do that. That just scares the heck out of me. So I agree down the line here that the EVs are the way to go. So
I appreciate that feedback. You know, it's, our funding system is complex. Of how we manage transportation in California is complex, and so the solution may be complex. But I think, you know, what is important is that all areas of the state have an opportunity to weigh in, talk about their priorities, talk about their concerns as we explore. We have to do something, you know. In the long term, the gas tax is not going to be there for us. So that solution could look different in different ways, and so that's one of the things we're trying to do right now is get that feedback. And again, get folks to live with it a little bit, you know, this potential that we have been researching and experiencing a little bit. But again, just really provide the opportunity to all these communities to weigh in while this is being thought about, not when it's been decided.
Okay, so you know, my two cents worth, it's obviously a complex issue that's moving forward. I got the email regarding the trial thing. I know I've tried to get spread the word out to my constituents because I think more participation is better than less participation.
Mm-hmm.
It also takes input. You know, hey, at some point, our roads are degrading. Someone's got to pay for it. I get the privacy side, but you got to pay for it. So come up with your own thing other than tax, because all I ever hear when we say tax, and we're going to hear it when we talk about vacation, is don't tax me, right? So good luck. Thank you. Let's go to public comments, see if there's anyone that has any input here. Anyone in-house? Come on up.
Question.
No. You need to come up, speak, fill out a card for me, state your name for the record. And you get 3 minutes.
Well, go ahead and speak in the you fill out one of the cards.
Right here. My name's Walt Bullington. Just a quick question for the lady.
You got to address the board. It's not a question.
Quick question for you. Is there a plan in place through the state to track public service agencies and mileage to collect money for road damage?
Is there anything any follow?
I just know as working in the field of law enforcement, that cop cars are driven 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and multiply that around the state, that's a lot of mileage.
Sure. Anyone else in help?
Yeah.
My name is Michael Webb. I have just one quick question regarding the taxing. What about when people charge up at home? I have two sons, and they both have charging units at home for their trucks and for their cars. So how do we assess that?
Anyone online?
Sean, not online.
Any follow-up comments, quickly?
So great questions. In terms of government vehicles, certainly CHP pays gas tax right now. Caltrans vehicles pay gas tax right now. Certain transit agencies have some exemptions. So you know, all of that could be explored as part of a potential legislation. Seeing what makes most sense, so you have the opportunity there. In terms of electric charging, excellent point. One of the concerns that you have about really relying on just the charging of EVs as a funding source is that so many people charge at home. And so that's a potentially huge source of leakage in the funding that we'd have to figure out, and that's probably why the state has spent a little bit more time investigating the potential of road charge instead of charging EVs because of that significant leakage issue. Now, we have tested, you know, actually collecting a road charge through commercial charging with ChargePoint in our last pilot, and so we have, you know, explored some of the opportunities there. But at this time, that's one of the potential concerns. No funding solution is going to be perfect, so that's going to be part of the debate within the state of how do we put all these pieces together to make sure that we have sustainable funding for our transportation system.
Follow-up comment from the
supervisor. Just point of clarification. We have a lot of federal agencies in this county, and they drive an inordinate amount of mileage. And unless things have changed since I retired, they don't pay state sales tax.
That's a good question. I have to look specifically into federal. You know, I know that most state agencies do, but I have to double check on that.
Not federal, because when they use their gas card for special codes, they put in a pump that identifies that as a federal vehicle.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that point.
In the state's infinite wisdom to go all electric here, I think that's what this is foundational to, trying to figure out how they're going to recoup that gas tax. But one of the things that's being ignored is just lawnmowers, chainsaws, boating, RV, whether it's snowmobile, four-wheelers, whatever. They're all paying a gas tax, even though they don't use the road. So, I mean, I applaud you bringing this out, but there's so many things that aren't going to be addressed in this other than eventually there's going to be a shortfall in gas tax revenue. So, you know, public beware. This isn't going to be pretty on the other side, whatever the decision is.
Is the unique point you bring up, you know, there are, you know, off-highway vehicles, boating, agricultural vehicles, all those issues are out there. There's some existing state processes, again, that I mentioned for refunds for those. But yeah, those are all things that we will have to make sure are covered.
Thank you, young lady.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I'm sure there'll be some follow-up on this.
Great. Okay. Love it.
Wendy?
Break would be nice.
Do you want an hour?
No. 45 minutes.
5 minutes, please.